The question is, do decisions which we make really have consequences? What would be the answer? Absolutely, they do have consequences. Every decision, small or great, does have consequences. So, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 24, that's in the Old Testament. And as you turn there to the 24th chapter, let me say this. We live in a land of freedom. That's why we were able to go and travel. We can drive anywhere we want in the United States. Nobody's really holding you back. Unless you run into a snowstorm like we did. We were on I-80 when they just had this big pileup of 15 semis and 15 cars all piled into each other. Because, and we were saying afterwards, because somebody made a decision. And even if you make, when you drive in a car, a decision and you think, who cares? That's my decision. It's my car. I can make the decision whatever I want. All of a sudden, three people are dead. Dozens are injured. And tens of thousands are stranded on a freeway. We get stuck there for 2 hours. You don't move. It was interesting to me that right after the movement began again, and we drove about 15 to 20 miles an hour, it's kind of slow, you know? But 15 to 20 miles an hour, we were driving on I-80, and we were on the right side. The left lane is open. All of a sudden, these semis start moving, and since they have a lot of power and a lot of weight on it, they are invincible, correct? And they just pass by on 50, 60 miles an hour, and I told my son, I said, we'll meet him again. We did. We did meet him again. They all end up in the ditch because it was pure ice on the road. Do decisions have consequences? Absolutely they do. And we're going to look at what God said to Joshua. Joshua was a very successful leader because God said, you are going to have to lead my people into the ultimate promise I gave my people. That's the promised land. Joshua was growing up under Moses. He saw the Israelites, how they should not have done it and how they should have done it. He was for 40 years in the wilderness with them. And now God gives him the command to go across and to enter into the promises. And Joshua does so. And now in the 24th chapter, we come to the end of Joshua's life. 40 years later, Joshua had to make a lot of decisions in life. Most of the decisions he had to make were based upon the promise God gave him. Be courageous, Joshua. Go wherever your footsteps on. I give you that land. It's your territory. Well, many times the people which Joshua had to lead were not for him. No, we're not going. Yes, we're going. And then Joshua said, you're not going. They said, yes, we're going. And you all know the stories. And now Joshua comes to the end of his life. He knows God is going to take him home. He knows that the Israelites are on a very crucial point in their lives. Decisions are very important. And this is what he says. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also, I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. but I gave them into your hand, that you might possess the land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build. And you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now come the two famous verses. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, what did he say? We will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I made a decision long time ago, and it had very, very severe consequences. In my case, consequences of absolute blessings. In the father's case, consequences of curses. And now I'm challenging you. This is why God, by the way, repeats what he has done. Just to give them an overview. And I thought first, maybe you should write a 24th chapter in your life. Maybe you should write where you were. Where were your mom and dad? It doesn't matter. It matters that God brought you out from there into his kingdom and did all the things for you. Could you write a chapter like this? If you have served the Lord, you surely can write one. And then you could say to your children and to your friends, I don't care what this world is saying. For me and my house, we have made up our mind. We will serve the Lord. I'm always mind-boggled how so many Christians, no matter how sincere they are, when it comes to a place where they have to make a decision to represent God in the world where they're living in, how fearful they are of telling the world whom they truly serve. Almost seems like they're ashamed of telling the people, you can make any decision you want. You can get your cues from the wall to make decisions. For me and my house, we've made up our mind. We made a decision. We will serve the Lord. The question, obviously, this morning, I said before you, is how can we ever come to that place that we make solid decisions with blessings as the consequences? Because we live in a land of freedom, correct? And how many of you know that freedom creates options? You have options to choose from. We live in a land where we have still political freedom. I can choose to go and vote for any party I want, for any candidate I want, or I can choose not to go and vote at all. That's freedom. In this land, we have religious freedom. I can go to church Sunday morning. Nobody is going to drag me here. I can go and worship in a synagogue. I can go and worship in a temple. I can do anything I want, or I can sleep in. It's freedom. That's choice. As long as I know every decision I make has consequences. Economic freedom we have in this country still. Praise God for that. It allows me to go and work wherever I want. I can go and drive anywhere I want. I can buy the house I want or not buying anything. I have the economic freedom. As long as I know, it has consequences. All these options require me to make decisions. It is impossible to worship and not to worship. Jesus said it this way. No one can serve two masters. Remember that? You either will hate the one and love the other. You cannot have it both ways. He said you have to make up your mind. You have to make a decision. Sometimes we sit in a church and we listen to a sermon or we go and worship the Lord. And then when we leave the church, we make a decision. I don't care about that God. Who cares about God? Look what God does in the world. I don't care. We make a decision with severe consequences. That's what Jesus meant. He said, you cannot have it both ways. You either love me or you hate me. These are the consequences which are going to come. And the decisions which we make will have huge impacts. Jesus, in that sixth chapter of Matthew, that's where I quoted him from. That was his Sermon on the Mount. And he adds at the end, in verse 33, the famous verse all of you know. Here I give you the solution, he said. But seek first the kingdom of God. He said, make a decision. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, what is the consequence? Everything will be added unto you. Wow, what a blessing. Many of the great events, by the way, in history, and you know how much I love history, this history was made by people who made decisions that had absolutely insignificant impact at the moment when they made it, but changed the course of history over time. Let me give you a few examples. In 1867, an unknown Russian censor, the Russian government had censors in place where everybody had to go to that censor. If you published anything, it had to be approved. These censors were highly suspicious of everything. If anything was just smelling like politically subversive, it could not be published. The Russian censor got one day a booklet in his hand, came across his desk. It's now history. And I quote him. He said, this book is unlikely to find many readers among the general public. End of quote. The title of the book was Das Kapital, written by a young, penniless German journalist by the name of Karl Marx. The general public did not read the book. But there was one man who got a copy of that book. His name is Vladimir Lenin. He took that book, said, I'm going to put that into practice. And the result was communism, a political movement that shaped the entire 20th century, and more than one-third of the entire world population was in its grips. What if that censor would not have allowed that booklet to be published in the Russian language? Totally insignificant at the moment. Huge implication, huge complications, consequences. At the end of the 19th century, a young boy left Scotland. And he moved to London to join his three brothers, who were all studying medicine. So he followed them in the profession, and he decided to study at St. Mary's Hospital in London. Because the reason for his decision was they had the best water polo team in England. There, he came under the study, under the skillful hand of a very famous bacteriologist. His name was Almer Threit. He taught that young man anything about bacteriology. And the end result was this man discovered penicillin. This young man's name is Alexander Fleming. What if he would not have been a good swimmer? And would not have cared about the polo team? He would never have ended up under the hands of Professor Wright. What if the world would have never discovered penicillin. A decision about joining a water polo team gave the world one of the greatest medical breakthroughs. Small decision, huge consequences. And let me give you the story of another young man who also happened to be a medical student. He could not stand the sight of blood. Whenever he saw blood, he was gone. He spent 2 miserable years as a medical student because his father was a medical doctor and wanted him to become also a medical doctor. Eventually, his father reluctantly allowed him to transfer to Cambridge to study theology. So this young man entered Cambridge and studied theology. But one day, someone came along his path and invited him to go on a journey to South America for about 2 years. And this young man embarked on the journey on the famous Beagle. The journey took 5 years before he came back. It ruined his entire health and he spawned the theory that changed the way the world thinks just about everything. His name was Darwin. What if Mr. Darwin would have not allowed his son to change his medical education? And what if Darwin would not have taken the invitation to go on that famous journey to South America? Small little decisions, huge consequences. When he was done, he wrote the book on the origin of the species by means of natural selection, which we know today as evolution. It changed the entire Western world. One small decision. We all know it is impossible to imagine the world we're living in today without Marx, without Fleming, and without Darwin. They are dominating the history of the 21st century. Each of these stories tells you that it all started with a very insignificant decision, so it seemed. My question, obviously, is what influences my decisions? Remember Joshua? And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, okay, choose for yourself. But for me and my house, how could Joshua make such a statement? What influenced his decision? The answer is, Joshua received the right information. Who spoke to Joshua before he took over the job? God spoke to him. Joshua, I have a job for you. He knew the God gave him the information and nothing would deviate from that command in Joshua's life. He said, I made up my mind. God influenced my decisions. I think back on my own life. There are decisions which I regret I've ever made when I was younger. How many of you have ever made some of those? But they had consequences. We could not change the consequences. And then one day, we were confronted with the gospel. All of us, I don't know if you responded or if you were foolish enough to neglect it, but if you were wise enough to respond to it, that decision you made changed your entire life and the history of you and the people you know. You say, well, this is a very insignificant decision because this is my life. I make my decision. I call the shots here. You don't have to tell me anything. I have the freedom to choose. And I say, yes, you do. Praise God. But don't call me when the consequences hit you. There are decisions which we make that are influenced by someone else. And the someone else who influences your decision, if your decision is wrong, they will never take the consequences nor the responsibility because you made the decision. Have you ever made a decision that was heavily influenced by a friend, and when it's all done and the consequences come down, there was no friend to be found? Ever made that? You haven't lived long enough on this earth if you haven't experienced that. God had designed that our friends and our influences will not be held accountable. You will be held accountable for the decisions you make. And it has huge implications. This is why Joshua said, what you're going to decide, that's up to you. But I have made my decision. I and my household will serve the Lord. Where do we get our information from today? I could give you a whole litany, but don't make it too long, because we have potluck today, correct? So, let me quickly summarize. Some of us get information from our politicians. How many of you know before elections, everything they ever say is good? I mean, have you ever heard promises? Just, you get it, on steroids. How many of you can believe it? That's besides the point. But we get information, correct? We live in a business community. Ever watched TV where a commercial comes across the screen? They are influencing our decisions. They inform us, such as, do you know, you're riding such a junk car, 1975, are you crazy? Your neighbor has a new model, 2014. And I tell you what, I give you all the options to buy it. Zero down. You go, oh, yeah, good information. And you make a decision with consequences. The entertainment industry, they also have ideas. They give us information, correct? We're watching movies, we get all these things. Then we say, oh, man, she looks pretty. What kind of secret does this woman have that she looks so good? So we look it up. Oh, she uses such and such a cream, you know. Oh, man, she's looking good, you know. So what are you going to do? You're going to have to buy. You get information and you make decisions. The media is full of it. Oh, let me bring you right back home where we are. You come to church. You also get information, don't you? Sometimes in church, people get wrong information. And because of this wrong information, they make decisions with severe consequences. So how important is it who is influencing my decisions? It's very important. So I give you three little points that help you to illustrate what I want to bring across this morning. Have you gotten it so far? You follow me? How do I know? Or did you already made up your mind? You already made the decision without the information? Okay, let me give you the first one. The three value systems that will determine our decisions, and we have to live with the consequences. The first value system which all of us have to deal with is self. Self, it's you and me. I said earlier, self is so rebellious against God, nobody has to tell me anything. I can go where I want, do what I want. Say what I want. There are no rules. Freedom's just another word for a mess someone else has to clean up. That's not my quote. That's from a very famous rock star, and I'm not going to give you the name. He killed himself, by the way. And it was all done. He made decisions based upon wrong information. Self is very powerful. My wife, Pete, and I, we were in Fort Wayne, and we thought on Monday night, there came the Broadway musical across, and we said, we're going to watch it. It's about the Million Dollar Quartet, four men who started the rock and roll revolution in the world. Phenomenal performance. Four men. I'm sitting there, and I'm taking in this information. I love the music because every one of them on that stage was a super professional musician. It was a perfect illustration of what actually happened in 1956. And then I go in my mind, okay, Lord, you put me here for a reason, correct? And just for music, for that, I could go on the internet and listen to it. There must be a reason. And then it hit me. In that play, it came out that all four were growing up in church. All four. The talent was given to them by God. And all four eventually used it for their own self and destroyed their very lives. All four. Wow. Decisions with consequences. When self determines that I really don't care, then self is going to make decisions based upon my own information. How many of you have ever processed information wrong? Or my son said, Dad, you're almost perfect, but you're not perfect. You're making mistakes too, he said to me the other day. I said, yeah, I do. It's sad to say it. I hate to say it. I hate to admit it, but I do make mistakes. And you make some mistakes too. When self determines what is right and what is wrong, I can tell you already, it is always wrong when self determines it. Because the informations are not right. So we're making decisions. My wife reminded me when I told her that. She said to me yesterday, she said, oh yeah, and sometimes you come and you say, I have made up my mind. She's right. Self-determined. Later on, we have to eat the consequences. The consequences. This is the second thing, a value system that makes us absorb things, and then eventually we make decisions based upon that. And that's our society around us. It's not just self, but our society around us. How many of you would have to admit our society is influencing us greatly? There is no way around it. You cannot live in a cave. You cannot lock yourselves in the home and say, I am not living here because God said, I put you among wolves. That's where you live in. That's your life territory. You have to be there. But I will be with you. I will protect you. So the society around us determines what is right and what is wrong. And how many of you have to say, we have fallen far lower than we ever should have fallen in the value system in our society. The sad part is that the churches now who are preaching those value systems from the pulpit, letting people believe that the society's value systems are fine. But you think what the people in the congregation are going to do? They make decisions based upon the society. And that always has very severe consequences. The question obviously is when it comes to society, which society? If I'm in Russia, I have a different society value system than when I'm in America. If I would be in North Korea under a dictator, there's a different value system in the society than there is in South America. Or sometimes I have to ask myself, okay, if society determines what's right and wrong, what segment of society makes that decision? You have to ask questions. Is it the majority? And you would say the majority is always right, is always wrong. Or could it be a special interest group who influences us? Or could it be the person or the society that's most vocal? Or could it be the society of the most powerful? Or could it be the people with most of the money? Or could it be a religious organization? What is it? Carl Bernstein wrote this. He said, we are in the process of creating, in some, what deserves to be called the idiot culture. Sorry, my wife said, don't use that word again. So I said, I'm going to look for a quote. I can find it. Not an idiot subculture, which every society has bubbling beneath the surface and which can provide harmless fun, but the culture itself. For the first time in our history, the weird and the stupid and the coarse are becoming our cultural norm, even our cultural ideal. Who has to say amen to that? You know, sometimes I see people, they are so weird looking. It is unbelievable. And they become the idols of our young generation. That influences them. That society influences how they think. Sometimes the people of the most vulgar language are being watched the most. And it influences our culture. It used to be, it gives away my age, but it used to be that if somebody used a dirty word in the society, you were shunned. Today, when somebody curses and swears, we think he should be the next president of the United States. Our society values have drastically influenced the way our society thinks as a whole. And our decisions are based upon such value systems. And I have to tell you, my friend, for a Christian, we have to run from those value systems. They contribute nothing but consequences of absolute trouble. I give you a third value system, and you know what that is. That's the sovereign Lord, when he determines what's right and what's wrong. Not me, not you, not the society around us, but our sovereign Lord, when he determines what's right and what's wrong. A newest research in America showed that 70% of Americans believe in God. I thought, man, that's still much a higher percentage than I thought it would be. 72%. I looked it up yesterday. But then our dominant lifestyle in America should be godly, devout, and more morally upright. Would you say so? But what about if a visitor from outer space would arrive in America? Would they find in America 72% of the American people living godly life? Morally high standards, don't lie, don't cheat? Or would they find something else? You know the answer to that. My question is, so what's the problem? Because most people get the value system from another source than the Lord himself. Go with me to Genesis. Let's not make it complicated. Let's start where God started with. You may have forgotten that, but I think I need to tell you. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. If you want to go and you want to pick up and get a good springboard, you have to go to chapter 1, when God in verse 26 said, "Let us make man in a societal image," or in a self-image. Is that what God said? What did he say? What did he mean, our image? Godly, righteous, holy, perfect. He said, let us make some creatures. They represent us on this planet. That's the value system God placed here. Then they can make rock-solid decisions, and I can bless them. And God said, well, I even protect them better than that. I build a garden just for them. I mean, just for them. How many of you would have liked to live in the garden? As long as there's no weeding to be done, I'm okay. Go in the garden. He said, that's your environment, a protected environment in verse 8, chapter 2. He planted a garden, and he put man there. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And obviously we know what God said, correct? Here comes his value system. God says, Adam, everything is yours. Everything. There's one thing you can't take, and that's the fruit of that tree of knowledge. Because up to this point, you only know the value system of good. If you partake of the other one, you're going to know the value system of evil. I don't want you to go there. Or what we would say as parents, I want to protect my children with all I got. They don't have to experience evil before they see it. We may could protect them, teach them the good. They can take the good, and they don't have to go in all the evil. What does the world say? Oh, no. You got to have to let them go and let them experience evil, then they know how it looks like. How many lives have been transformed and destroyed like that? That was never God's intention. God said, I don't want you to get to know evil. That's my value system. And when you have only good, what does Adam and Eve do? Only making good decisions. Obviously, there's always somebody who plays the game, correct? Here comes Satan along and said, hey, you know what? Did God really say that? Is he such a narrow-minded God? He just doesn't want you to know everything. He doesn't even want you to know what he knows. So I tell you what, just go ahead. Enjoy the freedom. You got options. And what did Adam and Eve do? They took the option. And did God really do what he said he will do? Absolutely. See, we read that story and we forget about it. It hits us home in everyday life where we make decisions. Adam and Eve made a tremendous blunder, and we all know that, because they didn't trust the sovereign Lord. Because, my friend, let me tell you this. We make decisions based upon what we believe. Let me say it again. We make our daily decisions based upon what we believe. If you believe that self, you yourself, know better than God, then that's what you believe, and you're making decisions based upon it with severe consequences. If you believe that the society around you knows better than God does, who created us, then you will make decisions based upon the society with severe consequences. I could give you plenty of examples in America. The track record is terrible. Killing 58 million unborn babies because somebody in the Supreme Court made a decision which the person probably thought, the judges thought, no big deal. It's just Roe versus Wade. Who cares? It opened the door for slaughtering anyone we please without consequences. Just because the woman gets pregnant and it doesn't fit in her vacation schedule, she aborts the child. It's fine. Somebody made a decision. But it's a value system of the society and not of God. My friends, in America, we need to wake up. We cannot just hide in the four walls of the church. We need to make godly decisions outside of the wall of the church. I'm not asking you for activism, but I'm asking you to make your decisions based upon the value of the Bible, the Word of God, so that your life doesn't have these severe consequences. 80% of a pastor's job today is counseling. Why? Making bad choices. Don't point fingers. You just made a bad choice. With consequences. Shall I mention the name? It goes all over the world. Do you see? Our value system needs to be based upon the Word of God. When the Word of God says don't do it, don't you think God had a plan? He didn't want us to go there because he knows the consequences. How many people's lives have been destroyed after they grew up in the church, but then somebody else changed their value system, they took it, believed it, made decisions, and it ruined their lives forever. I could give you millions of examples if you will go to the history of those people. We make decisions based upon what we believe. This is why Joshua said, I know what my God said. I believe in him. I made up my mind. That's what I do. I want to finish that up with one challenge for you. Some of you made some very bad decisions. On what they are, that's between you and the Lord. Once we make the decision, we ask feverishly that everybody will pray for us that the consequences don't come through. God never produces a cup failure. When we make bad decisions and the consequences are coming, be man enough and woman enough to face up and go to the Lord and ask him to get you through that valley. You have to get through it. There's no other way. That's the way God designed it. Why? How many of you know we are rebellious and stubborn people? Boy, that strain of DNA is in all of us. And we know it better than God does. Or we say, God, I know what you're saying, but this time you're wrong. You don't understand. Really? He does understand. He made us. And this morning I'm going to ask those of you who made such bad decisions to ask God to help you from now on to make good decisions based upon his value system, which he placed in his book. The reason for that is pretty simple. It will be a great blessing to you personally. It will be a great blessing to your family. It will affect your children. It will affect the church family. You cannot live on your own. You're not an island. Every decision you make outside of God's sovereign value system has an impact on this local church. When I was a young pastor, I prayed to the Lord, Lord, only let me pastor a church where everybody is faithful. I think whole heaven laughed because I was so naive. I was on fire for the Lord. I thought everybody is going to be sold out on everything God has. Boy, did I learn quickly. My value system had to change too. I had to systematically drop some things from dreaming and wishing to reality of God's word. And we live in a real world. And there are people in a family like ours, they'd say, I'm going to give what belongs to God, be it my talents, be it my finances, be it everything I got, I give it. And there are people who say, I withhold it. Everything with consequences. Now let me tell you, you can do anything you want. And you can be in the world very successful, but that's not what I'm talking about. When it comes to blessing, there's no other blessing but spiritual blessings that have eternal value that counts for me. That's our value system. And I challenge you this year to change your value system if anything else has crept in, self or society. Toss it, go back to the Word, look at what the Word says. The Sovereign Lord has an absolute perfect plan for you and my life, but He has given us the freedom to make choices. And if you happen to be sitting in here or hear me preach this sermon, and you have never made the solid decision to surrender everything to the Lord Jesus said, I'm standing at your door of your heart, and I knock. The only thing I want you to do is open, open, so we can have fellowship. Open. So this morning, I challenge you to put God first, surrender your life to Him, let His value system determine your decisions. And from then on, trust Him. He'll lead you never astray. The blessings are waiting for those who trust Him. Go with Joshua. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We sang the song earlier, Lord. Speak, O Lord. Test my actions, test my attitudes. Reveal my very inner thoughts. Through your word, may be washed from all the filth of self and society. Lord, we have many times believed a lie when we should have believed you. Decisions we've made had consequences which we certainly did not like. But this morning, Lord, we say, teach us your value system. May we make decisions based upon your word. We can leave the society and self behind. We can believe in you only. And may your blessings follow. For your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, Amen. Amen.